Hello, everyone.
Hello. Good morning or evening.
Afternoon.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello.
Howdy.
Just pulling up the notes. One How's everyone doing?
Good.
Don't know if people want to hear this, but the trees are starting to bloom here, and my allergies are going crazy.
Weird. That's
Wow.
so early.
Well, when I first moved here, I was used to I'd have a hard freeze, and I didn't. I have really bad seasonal allergies, and I always have. But when I moved here, I was doing the same thing that I was doing when I lived places where it got cold in the winter, and I'd stop taking my allergy medication in the winter, and then I'd be like, I'll pick it up again in the spring. But then I'm like, why? What's going on in January? And now, of course, I'm used to it. I just take my medicine all year. But I woke up this morning really congested, and my nose was running and stuff. And like, and I look up, I'm like, yeah, trees are budding.
Spring once a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I lived in North Carolina, there was like the pine pollen season that I'd never experienced before. So everything sort of turned this like shade of chartreuse on, like, I mean, everything. Like your car, if you parked it outside, like if you walked and you came inside, it was never had any experience like that before since.
Yeah, we have that. We have a brief period like that too. I think it's pines. I don't know. We get that kind of green. You get that light green haze on your car and everything. Yeah.
All right.
Anyways, that's me today.
Yeah, Washington, D.C. is that way too. All right, I'm popping the link to the notes in the chat. Believe Martin is taking notes today. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you so much. All right, let's start out with welcome and announcements. So I think Alexis pointed out that I forgot to add the liaison updates. So maybe we can start out with a quick note on WolfCon and then move on to the liaison updates. Does that sound good? So Jennifer, you had some notes about WolfCon 2026.
Yes, hello everyone. So WolfCon planning committee is working hard. As you know, it's WolfCon is a little earlier this year, so it'll be held in Prague at the Prague University of Economics and Business. From so the pre-conference is Monday, August 30th, I believe, and then the conference is September 1st to September 3rd. So about 3 weeks earlier than we normally have it. The call for proposals is going to come out on the 10th. So definitely submit something, yay. But if you want to do a pre-conference, and those are in person, so you'll have to unfortunately fly to Prague. Oh no. I mean, sorry about that. Well, maybe the flying. Once you get there, it'll be fun. But definitely, if you want to do a pre-conference, talk to Thomas Trett. He's here. He's looking for pre-conference sessions. So think about it. And then going forward, I'll probably have more updates on WolfCon in terms of registration numbers as well as sessions and all of that. We are using a new tool, FeedLoop, instead of SCED, with the hope that the virtual experience will be much better this time around, because we anticipate having more virtual people than people in person. And that's it. Unless anyone has any
What's the
questions.
name of the tool? Feedly?
FeedLoop. FeedLoop.
Feed loop.
Great, that'll be fun. I know we're looking forward to it. All right, from here, can we do some liaison updates? Maybe Alexis first.
Sure. Okay, so the community council met I guess it was the 20, could I have the notes up? The 26th, so last Monday. And it was their first meeting of the new year, so they kind of just regrouped and reviewed everything that they're planning on working on for the next 6 months. They've got several working groups, subgroups in progress. The counting things group, and they're going to report out soon. The expanding membership group, which includes figuring out how to demonstrate the value of membership, perhaps readjusting the tiers, the way the tiers are structured, working on outreach, things like that. There's also this group that's going to work on developing a plan for the software marketplace, and that's going to be a larger initiative for the community, but they just kind of want to form the idea and have discussion and definition of the plan to start with. And then they're kind of starting to kick off and think about elections for a few months from now. So they were asking for volunteers to run the elections. There's also a group working on the idea of training as part of the value of membership, and they're working on a charter, and they will have something to share at the next meeting, which is the 9th, next Monday. Then there was this general question of like, what else should the CC be working on? There were questions about the budget and AWS costs, as there often are. Kat's going to come, the treasurer is going to come and talk probably sometime this month about how things are going. And then I had mentioned after that meeting to Tom the issue that Jennifer Eustace had brought up about folio.org. Now things are really out of date. And he thought that was a really good thing for them to work on, like the communications in general, including the website. So he's gonna, I think, take that back to the community council for them to look at and maybe start up a group. And my question for all of you is, as a liaison, is there anything else you think we think that the community council should be looking at? Jennifer?
I was wondering, maybe the well, I'm speaking of Autumn is in charge of our working group, but I was maybe we could work our working group with the release management stakeholders if we could maybe work with the person from as for some reason I had community center in my mind, no, community council, because we do have we're working on a template for Sunflower. And we also learned that Hannah Murphy has moved on from EBSCO. So I think it,
Oh, okay.
yeah, in the meantime, it's Rachel Fadlin is our primary contact. Yeah.
Okay.
And
So you're
we
talking about
all
specifically the updating the website regarding releases.
yeah. And we
Okay.
also had some other ideas in terms of just updating the site if that was possible, in terms of its structure to make it more vibrant as well.
Okay, cool. I will. So this is. So I should mention that for you and basically for the RMS sub, the folks on the RMS subgroup, for someone to reach out to you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, sure. Autumn.
Jennifer got it. Thank you,
Okay, cool.
Jennifer. I think Jeremy's next.
Similarly, with the community directed development framework subgroup, there certainly were things in that proposal that implicated the CC specifically in regards to making sure or at least exploring the possibility of funding something like a community directed development team. I know that a lot of the things that they are talking about have to do with like maybe some precursors to seeing funding be available. So, but I don't know if they're specifically formulating those as in the context of community directed development, but I think it'd be awesome if they were.
Okay. All right. I mean, it seems like I wonder whether or not we should just I can suggest maybe updating them on what we're working on and figure out how we can start to
I have a suggestion for that. This is something that we've talked about with the TC a little bit and with certain members of the CC, but our community directed development subgroup would like to have one meeting out of every four be a cross council meeting with people in the other councils who are doing work on the same topic. Just to see if we can coordinate our efforts across the three councils.
Okay, cool.
And
All
does
right, yeah.
that address kind of what you were saying of like trying, I mean, do you think that would work?
I think it's worth mentioning regardless. And I can just start by mentioning it to Tom, and then he can see where he wants to take that. But yeah, I will definitely share this information with him
Thanks.
and Paul. Yeah, thank you. Okay, that's it for me. If you have anything else you think of, just let me know.
Thank you so much. And I think Christy is doing the TC update today. Is
Hi,
that right?
yeah, I can step in for Todd and do this. I do have a couple of updates. The TC is continuing the pilot for using the module review process to go back and review existing modules that have already been through the process, but maybe not for a while, to make sure that they are still up to date. This is just a pilot process, and we're doing it with a couple of modules to see what the experience is like, how it's being received by the developers, and what type of resources this may take, and the issues that are coming up, to see if this is something that we want to do more systematically in the future. The other thing that the TC has been working on is a potential developer conference that happens like at the 6 month mark out from WolfCon, that is completely virtual. And thinking about what the goals of such a conference would be, and how that would be resourced and structured and organized to sort of benefit the developer community.
Thank you so much, Christy. That's a really interesting idea. All right.
Sorry, is it only an idea, or are there concrete plans to have such a conference?
There are no dates yet. Our intentions are to have the conference unless we receive feedback that it is just, too much, it wouldn't work out, it's not going to help the developer community meet their goals. Our next steps are, we're developing a survey tool to go out to the developer community to ask questions about, format, the types of sessions, length of time, when would be useful, and how to engage with them on the content for the conference. And we'll know more after we submit that survey. We're in the process of actually drafting the survey right now.
Okay, so a 6 month after WolfCon would be somewhere in March, maybe. Is it planned to have also already to have one this year or next year?
That's actually an excellent question. I think it depends on resource and excitement. I don't know that we're necessarily tied to sort of the 6 months out, but what we don't want is for it to be too close to WolfCon. We want to make sure that there is space there between this event and WolfCon. We just had
Okay.
our first, so this is an idea that came out of last year's WolfCon.
And we had our first planning meeting this week. So it really is a nascent idea. And we're at the beginning stages of it right now. I doubt that this March is going to happen at this point.
Yeah,
But you never
that's
know.
cool.
Autumn?
Is there, and I don't know if this has come up in discussions, but is, I think there would be honestly a good deal of interest among subject matter experts to have a chance to connect with developers directly and maybe explain, I don't know, give like a day in the life sort of look at how Folio is used in various areas of library work, just for some context, or give developers a chance to ask questions. Has that come up at all?
So yes and no. I think that that's actually a really interesting idea for a session or certain types of sessions at the conference, and I can bring that back to the group, as a certain type of session. We have discussed that there is a place if the developer conference is about getting work done, then we have acknowledged that it can't just be developers, right? There are other stakeholders for the decision-making process. And thinking about how we take a conference that really is intended to provide engagement and interaction amongst developers and between development teams, and insert other stakeholders in that without, taking away from the primary goal of the conference, and thinking about what role do the rest of us, like the PC or the subject matter experts in the SIGs, play. It was brought up that this is an opportunity to talk about, foundational issues that cross development teams. And when you start having those types of conversations, to make any decisions, you can't just have developers at the table. So we did discuss that, but I also really like the way that you framed it as having an opportunity to bring subject matter experts and developers together in certain contexts within this conference. And I will bring that back to the group.
Cool. Yeah. Something like, I don't know, the end user experience or something. I know I always have questions for, or I'm just like curious about the developer experience too. I feel like there's a disconnect between those of us using the product and those of us making it, even though we work really hard, right, to have product owners and SIGs and communication like that. There's this whole group of people doing all this important work, and I'm so sort of outside their kind of daily work. So yeah, anyway, I think it would be cool. Thanks.
No, as someone who is a subject matter expert on technical counsel, I completely agree. It's been very enlightening for me to be on technical counsel, and I appreciate having that perspective. So I completely feel and understand your interest in maybe like peeking into that black box as a subject matter expert. That's really exciting. And obviously, I know the POs are kind of an intermediary for that conversation sometimes, but I bet they'd have really helpful input too and should be looped in if they're not already.
Yeah.
Thank you for all of these great suggestions. I'll definitely take these back.
Jeremy?
I don't know. I've not been a part of any of these conversations. I've talked a little bit with our representative to the technical council about this, but I do know like early days, WolfCon, maybe even before it was called WolfCon, but the same gathering that evolved into WolfCon was much more technically centered. It was basically just the developers getting together and like talking about the product from a technical standpoint. And over the years, it's shifted very much, you know, by, you know, the majority of involvement being by the non-technical, you know, partners in the project, to being, you know, kind of more of a global look at Folio. So I do know that these kind of cross conversations are interesting, but I also think that they are available at WolfCon. I mean, everybody who you're talking about are they're there at WolfCon, and I don't know what they're planning on doing with this conference, but you know, there might be something to be said for, you know, kind of from the opposite perspective of allowing it to go deep in the technical direction and not, you know, cross streams. But I don't know what they're trying to accomplish there.
You know, it strikes me that there is a lot of crossover. I think kind of like spiritually with some of the other stuff that we're talking, like the groundwork that we've set this year in PC in terms of the work that Autumn's group is doing, the prioritization dashboard. I don't think we can put anything on our to-do list right now, but I think that someday it might be interesting if the PC were to, maybe it's not a virtual conference, but even just like a summit or something to tackle a specific high priority functional area, bringing together people from different kind of quarters of the Folio community could be interesting. Kind of a hackathon type thing or just prioritize-a-thon could be really beneficial.
That's a cool idea.
Okay. So we are going to skip active initiatives today. Oh, yeah, for housekeeping. Alexis, I think it was Jennifer, we're talking about the idea of standard rules in PC. I was wondering, just to ensure that we have enough time to talk about inventory import. If you could just kind of briefly introduce that idea, and we can get into greater detail in a future meeting.
Yeah, so this came up in the context of our and when actually we can talk about this more next week because when we're going to report the community priorities dashboard subgroup is going to do a report, but we were talking about the what we think is important, at least for the community priorities dashboard, you know, maintaining that for the future and having somebody be having a point person on the PC, having that be sort of like their job, their PC job. To you know, to do all the reminders and the scheduling and all that stuff for and updating the community parties dashboard. But there are also other things that we think it would be really good to have specific people with that job, members of the PC who have specific jobs to follow up on certain things so it doesn't fall to the chairs and it doesn't fall through the cracks. So that's the general idea, and we can talk about what we think those rules. If we like the idea, we can think about what we think those roles should be and then figure out, you know, how to write a little mini job description and stuff like that.
Jeremy?
As a chair who often lets things fall through the cracks, I support this idea.
I also endorse this fully. And I wanted to say also, I see the work that we're doing this year. We've got these kind of tent poles in terms of communicating about the releases, the priorities dashboard, community development, efforts that are not meant to be ephemeral. And it really makes sense, I think, to follow up by formalizing, kind of enshrining some of those responsibilities. So I think that's a great idea. All right. Let's then go move on to inventory. Import. We have guests here today to talk about this new functionality. I'm not quite sure. There we go. Thank you. Go ahead and hand it off.
Yes, hello. My name is Kirsten Kemner-Hake. You might know me from the past here in this committee. And I'm happy to introduce to you a little piece of software that will close a development cycle in Folio, GBV, and index data started already in 2020. And The use case we have is we have three networks in Germany out of six that are running an OCLC CBS union catalog. And this is about connecting this union catalog with the inventory of folio and to provide data in real time. This is what our libraries are used to, and we are talking about a reusability for all networks using the CBS Union catalog, which are around 300 altogether. And of course, parts of it are reusable in other contexts as well as data loader, because we try to do our best to develop format agnostic. So here we are now. We started the development already years ago. We are not using SRS. And maybe Felix, you can. Yes, thanks. So this is the old situation. We are already live on since 2022, 24, 2024. With one of our libraries, we have our union catalog. We are using one proprietary API to the OCLC union catalog, which is necessary. That's the so-called OAuth. And as long we used an old piece of software built by Index Data, which was quickly available in the past since 2009, I learned today. And then we added nice folio apps. And step by step, we developed through various iterations, and it became nicer and nicer and more performant. And now, today, we would like to introduce the last missing piece of this effort. Maybe the next slide, please. So this is how it looks today, a lot more cleaner, a lot more easier. So this is no new development. We already presented it at WolfCons and here in PC some years ago, but now we hope the circle is full. We have our union catalog. We are sitting still on the oath, which is necessary, but can be replaced by other things people have. And now we have the last piece of folio functionality in the inventory import application, working together with the mod inventory update and the mod inventory storage. So that's a little bit of history. The development is funded by GBV, and we are providing everything that's non-proprietary to everybody to reuse it. And that's my part. And Charlotte, you might want to continue. Thank you so much.
As you know, we are working towards the Trillium flower release now, and the SIF team. And if you will show the SIF team, Felix. Here we are, Index Data and GBV. And this new work is developed by, so the enhanced mod inventory update is developed by the backend developer, Niels Erik Nielsen, and the frontend. The admin tool for inventory import is developed by Mike Taylor. And then back to the slides. There's three UX prod features we have been working on. So updating the oath, as Kirsten talked about, and then backend and frontend work. And there has been to in order to replace to remove the harvester, the old legacy harvester from 2009, the first slide Kirsten had, then we have to do quite a bit enhancements of mod inventory update the backend work. The UI part is pretty simple because we already had what we called what is Folio lookalike tool, but it was not included in the whole setup, so the harvester admin part. But the inventory import is the same tool where we can track the work. I have so mod inventory update is a Folio approved module, and it is approved way back in 2021. If you will, our developer, Niels Erik Nielsen, has written up a technical document on the wiki page. So that's the second link, Felix. And here there is a link in the slide deck also, and here you can read this document more in detail later. So you can say this is because we have built this in phases, and now, as Kirsten also mentioned, this is the final piece where back end and front end is to be all Folio, and it is coded according to the Folio code of conduct. So all tools are approved. This work, this new work, we have both. Of course, it is in first instance built, so it is transforming the Pika Plus records. That's a Mark flavor the German libraries are using. But we have also done a proof of concept on importing large Mark files in Mark 21. This tool is used by the German libraries not just for these daily updates, but is also used as a migration tool. And with the UI piece, inventory import, then all the daily monitoring there is required by the libraries now being also available as a Folio app. And then over to you, Felix.
Thanks, Charlotte. I just realized I have to share a Chrome, not Firefox, so stand by. Okay, I can now provide you with a quick demo of our current app that is called Harvester Admin. That is not part of Folio Complete, but it's we provide a Docker container and you can install it on any Folio platform. It's open source. It's under the Apache 2 license. So it's a Folio module, but just not part of Folio Complete. But our new app inventory import is based on that app. So we just enhanced it with some new concepts. Starting here, you have a list of harvestables. A harvestable, that's a more technical term, but it is like a job configuration. And when we switch to inventory import, we will call this channel. So you can have one or multiple channels. And what you can see here is we have one channel for our online update that is currently running. And we have multiple channels, eight for our migration dating back to 2025. So that is one of our test systems here. You will see the logs have vanished for now. When you set up a job or a harvestable, there are plenty of metadata fields and we just need a few of them. So the new UI will look much cleaner, but that is because the tool index data first developed was had multiple purposes and was not just designed to import and transform XML, but you could also provide data to a Solr index and stuff like that. So what we here really need is we have to know the library code. So that is one of our libraries. It has a code 40. We have to know the transformation pipeline, and I will talk about the pipeline in a sec. So you will configure that. Then you provide the storage endpoint. So we will use a batch upsort API. You will set the number of records that can be in one batch that we will send then to the API because we don't only provide single record updates, but batch updates to improve performance and the throughput. And you will specify a URL where you have your metadata records. So that could be your MARC files, or in our case, it's the Pika Plus records. So the bibliographic metadata holdings and the items. And once you set it up and it starts running, it will create a list of jobs. And a job is one iteration of harvestable, so one job run. You will see here we have a lot of job runs, 95,000 until now, because what we have is a real-time update. So you just have to wait 5 seconds until the records are transformed from CBS into Folio. So you will have a lot of just one record updates, but sometimes it's two or even more, regarding on how fast people are cataloging and doing changes on the source record side that is outside of Folio for us. And when you take a look at those records, you will see some metrics. So for instance, how many record types have been processed, how many have been loaded, how many have potentially failed, and how many have not been processed because there are dependencies inside of Folio. So for instance, we check on dependencies and won't delete any items that have a status of checked out, and we won't delete any instances that have a connection to a POL, for instance. So that are some of our internal logics here of MIO, mod inventory update. What you currently also see is just a plain log4j log file, and that's just if you have to debug something. The most important section for the librarians using this tool is not the jobs log, but the failed records, because that is where you find out where you have to take action. So for instance, you will see those records. It's pre-filtered for the last 2 days, so today and yesterday. And you will see there was some issues here with updating records because in Folio you have a unique barcode index on the item, and we don't have that on CBS side. So if someone uses the same barcode twice on two records, two items in CBS, we don't get the second item into Folio. So there is an issue here, and you can resolve it if you just change the barcode on CBS site. So that's the day-to-day tab where people will go to. And then we have settings, of course, app settings. We can specify how long do we want to keep old job logs. So from the jobs tabs and the failed record tabs, you can say, for instance, in this case, we want to remove everything that is older than 3 months. So that just makes sense, because why would I care for the logs that are older? You can set up a transformation pipeline. We won't no longer have to do that once we've transferred all the logic into mod inventory update, because here we can say for the old harvester part, here are your credentials. You can log into Folio with those credentials. You have to use these APIs. And once everything is inside of Folio, the module itself will take care of that. We can then specify transformation steps. That's the more interesting part here. So for instance, we want to convert our bibliographic records into instances. And that's the place where you put your XSLT. So everything is based around the XSLT style sheets here. Of course, we have actions, duplicate, edit, delete. You all know that. When we are editing this, we also have live validation. So let's say I remove this closing tag, then I will get a message that the XML is invalid. But no one should really use this text field to write the XSLT. So you will write it outside in an IDE or something like VS Code, and then you just copy paste it into that. So you can have one or multiple style sheets. We then transform the XML to JSON, so to the inventory format, and everything comes together in a pipeline. So that is the place where you combine these steps. So first, it will run the XML through the first step, second, third, and so on, until it finally creates the JSON record and sends it to mod inventory import. So, yeah, so that's the code base for the new inventory import app. Let me switch back to our slides and then Charlotte can continue and finish our presentation. So there are a few backup slides here.
The question. We are ready to get your questions and get your feedback.
Jeremy.
First of all, I think that's super cool. I knew eventually we would have XSLT in Folio, and here we are. I guess one question I have is, you mentioned something about things being called channels, and I think you said something about when in data import, is that what you said? They would be called channels in data import, or did I miss here?
Maybe I mispronounced it. So it will be channels, but in the inventory import app. So that has nothing to do with data import itself. So,
Okay. All
yeah.
right. Yeah, I just want some clarification about that. So yeah, just to be clear, this is and maybe y'all can talk a little bit about it, but this is, distinct from data import. It seems like there might be some overlap in functionality between the two, but also it seems like it has a distinct purpose because it is keeping things up to date in real time, almost more like a feed.
Right. And what we are doing is we are completely bypassing, if you want to say it, bypassing source record storage. So we aren't storing any replicas of our records in Folio. It's just the concise Folio inventory record. So with all the metadata that you need to lend a book or to acquire it. But we don't have any subjects, for instance. We are not mapping that. You could do it, of course, but we've just focused on we have the rich bibliographic record in the Union catalog and then just a concise record in Folio. That makes a lot of sense to us because we are doing original and copy cataloging in the Union catalog and not in Folio.
I see Kristen has her hand up, but just you said that at least conceptually you could update a source record using this in Folio, or it's not been built to do that.
It's not built at this point, but
Okay.
it could be if
Okay.
you. But that's not in something the GBV or the
Yeah.
German libraries are interested in.
Okay. I have so many more questions, but I'm gonna let other people ask, so.
Kristen?
Yeah, I appreciate your questions, Jeremy. They're helping me kind of clarify thinking about this. I have two questions maybe for the team here. One of them just came up thinking about the relationship to source record storage, and I guess a question just if when you're working on your discovery environment, that's getting fed by your Union catalog then, right? Because there you'd want those subjects. That's kind of just for my own clarification on how you're doing things.
Right. So most parts are coming from the Union catalog and the descriptions there, but some parts are fetched from Folio, like the what is it, like item status.
Okay,
So
so you're kind of
Union.
merging those together.
Maybe Antje, do you want to elaborate on that? That's your area of expertise.
No, it is as you said that, for example, if an item is land out on so this information is just in Folio, of course, and then we have to use the APIs to get this information for discovery.
Okay. And I got then my other question that I'm curious about is, you mentioned that, you started experimenting around Mark 21, and obviously as someone from the US, I'm just curious, do you know about active use cases on like the US side of people who are interested in experimenting around with this or see like potential workflows? I'd be interested to learn more about those.
We have some conversation in index data, yes. Maybe I can talk about it another time when things are a little more decided.
Okay.
Any other questions? I feel like Jeremy's got more. No?
I do. I'm gonna let them percolate a little bit. I guess my question is, are any of y'all opposed to me reaching out to you later with some questions?
You are very welcome, of course. But we are seeking the PC's endorsement. So that's
Kristen has a question.
Yeah, so this is me thinking ahead and would not be relevant to the endorsement, and I'm not on the PC anymore anyway, so I'm not voting on it, but I'm thinking about the Alma Community Zone. And I'm wondering if you're seeing this as a step potentially to have a sort of Folio Community Zone, or if that's come up at all in your conversations preliminarily. Alexis and I were part of a group that was having a conversation like, what does the community zone do? And we were sort of the outsiders looking in. But this idea of having like a shared record source, I mean, it seems like if you're not really storing the source record storage and then you have this like feed that automatically updates, I could see this taking Folio in that direction, which is kind of interesting, but I don't know if that's come up in any other conversations. And like I said, it's not relevant to its endorsement, like right now, I recognize, but it could be a reason for, thinking about where this could take Folio in the future.
Kristen?
I think this has two aspects. The first is how to connect Folio to Union catalog style offers. And there I can say, as one of the German networks, the HBZ is running ALMA and the ALMA network zone, they are in close contact with us to reuse what we did. And the second aspect, really building a Folio community union catalog in a way, that is a challenge. I mean, that we would be highly interested. I know we had conversations in the past if the consortia level can provide such a catalog. It has a lot of challenges. And there, we normally we divide it into two ideas. The one idea is everybody's cataloging by themselves, and you are just uploading your data, or you are really can do cataloging together and downloading what's yours in your local catalog. And we do the latter, and that makes the collaborative character of the Union catalog very strong. But there are There's not much software out there in the world that has those functionalities. That's why we still stick to a very old OCLC software, which was the Pika Foundation in Leiden 30 years ago, which was bought by OCLC. So having an initiative working on this, I know Index Data is very, Sebastian is very interested in that. We have Share VDE as an option with Casalini. The thing is, and we have the French people looking for a new union catalog. It is difficult, but maybe it's something when Folio is now maturing, that's maybe a step we can discuss, a wonderful discussion point for Wolfcon. And sorry, I have not the solution. Definitely not.
So any other questions before we wrap this up?
I mean, on its face, this feels like an easy endorsement to me. But there are some things that pop into my head that I'd love to ask you all. Okay. So, when I think about things like data import and the approach to source records that is common and fully. I mean, I totally understand why in y'all's situation in Germany, y'all have taken a different approach. I mean, it makes perfect sense, and it's great that Folio could have a tool that allows it to be flexible in that way. But I guess my question is, do you guys see this as additional functionality in Folio or something that might replace functionality in Folio in the long term? Like, is this expanding what Folio has to offer, or is it an attempt to move Folio in a different direction?
Maybe I can answer. I see them live side by side. This is not replacing data import and all the work put into that, because data import is tailored to be able to create these job profiles, making very specific to one vendor use deliver a data set in that way, another in a different set, et cetera, et cetera. Inventory import and the module mod inventory update, it's kind of a much more power tool and not designed to that you can of course change the different style sheets as Felix showed, but this is it's a different tool. But it's side by side, and the German library network and some other customers Index Data is talking with cannot use data import. So it's a you can say doing something similar, but it's not identical at all and not replacing.
Okay. All
right, Christy.
No, I agree with everything that's been said. I definitely think that it, I mean, it provides similar functionality, but it's a completely different approach for a completely different context. And I think that, this is the ideal of Folio, is that you can have multiple ways of doing things. And I think it's a great model for showing how people can build, alternate modules and then get them into the product. I'm also noting, I also wanted to say something similar to what Jennifer Eustace has said in the chat that, data import was imagined to be bigger. And we won't go into, why that hasn't happened here. I think we're all very aware of the challenges there. But, and my concern is actually probably more for our product council. And it's like, how do we negotiate this space? Because I can see having data import and inventory import, and right now I'm just talking about the names, maybe being confusing for especially new people in Folio. I was recently looking for a place that just listed all of the modules and just their high level functionality. We don't have anything. If we had something like that, someone could see side by side, okay, here's data import and here is what it does, and here's inventory import and here's what it does. I think that figuring out how to clearly differentiate these easily at a glance for users is something that would resolve some of my concerns. And we should maybe also think about renaming data import if it isn't going to be the umbrella import tool for Folio. I mean, now we have, Modlink data import, and we have this inventory import tool, and just rescoping, thinking about rescoping data import might be something that we should do as well. Again, those comments have nothing to do with inventory import. I think it's great. I've looked at it before, but it was just a back-end tool. So I'm happy to see this. come to fruition.
Thank you, Christy. And you've brought up some good things that we actually had on the agenda today to talk, kind of introduce some process conversation that we need to have. I think that we'll have a lot of good input from this conversation that will inform that will have to happen another day. I want to take these last two comments and then make sure we wrap up on time. We will do our voting, our endorsements offline, and get back to you guys later. Okay, Alexis.
I think this is a question for Charlotte, maybe, but is there any reason why you couldn't use both inventory import and data import in a particular Folio instance?
But data import is expecting to receive Mark 21, and that's not what we are
Oh,
receiving from the German libraries. They use it's a Mark flavor, but it is a different Mark. Pika Plus is a different structured BIP record.
okay,
Can
but
I?
if but let's say that there was, because you said like theoretically, I think there was a slide that said like theoretically this could be adjusted or developed at some point to be able to handle Mark 21.
It is about that XSLT crosswalk you will use in your transformation step. So if you make an a mark when we are using a Mark 21 XSLT, we can handle a Mark 21 records.
Cool. Thank you. All
Can I
right,
just have one
Jeremy.
sentence?
Close it. Yes. There you go.
Yeah. So as long as you set the instance source and holding source to a value other than mark, so the string MARC, then you can just use them side by side because everything that is connected to SRS is just using this string, or when it's holdings, it's a UUID, but for instances, it's just a string, and you just write in Folio, or we are writing in K10 plus the name of our unique catalog, and then you can run it side by side.
Jeremy?
This does not impact my enthusiasm for what y'all built at all, and I plan on voting yes on endorsing it. But I do think, as a product council, I'm just very interested in this question of like the product that we're giving people and how we present and integrate these things. Like, for instance, if I was just like designing this from the ground up, I might have, as a user, you click on data import and you have some options for like how you're going to like import things. And like, it's exactly what Christy was saying, like just like simplicity and messaging for the users, especially if these are tools that could theoretically live side by side. So this is just more for the product council. I'd love us to be able to explore and make decisions about what the user experience is going to be for people when it comes to interacting with these great tools that everyone's building. I do think that it might be confusing for people coming to the product. Or, do I want to use data import, or do I want to use inventory update? So yeah, I don't know what kind of levers we have to pull to like ne negotiate that space, but it does seem like an important conversation to me.
Thanks, Jeremy. Okay, in the 1 minute that we have, oh, Kristen, yes.
Just very quickly, maybe, I mean, we tried that, I know, maybe two or three Wolfcons ago, that we tried to attract an American library to find out if this is a suitable addendum to the data import thing, especially when the data import debate was very challenging. Maybe one of those who are self-hosting and have a Devel cluster can simply try out if it makes sense. And then you can share this. I mean, it's a lot of the devil is in the detail. It's a completely different technique. It's really very performant. That surprised us as well, with a long tradition in fighting with OCLC about the performance. Niels Erik did an extraordinary work. So I would warmly invite an American library just to find it out, and I think we would be happy to assist and see how it can live side by side.
Well, I would have to convince a long list of people to hop on board with this, but I do think, from my perspective, there's a lot that I'm interested in here to for exploring. So you'll be hearing from me.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe we should do a wolf concession where we can, that could be fun to do. And if Tamu is interested in joining.
Yeah, like I said, I have to go run into a bunch of people's offices and tell them about this, but yeah, hopefully.
All right. Thank you so much to GBV and to Index Data for presenting this today. Not only was this a great presentation, but it's the perfect time in our other conversations for like you've brought up some really interesting ideas. I want to point out what a great job they did with their PCE ticket that they submitted. It was really easy to understand what was coming. So folks, please read for our meeting 2 weeks from now. Our existing evaluation process documentation. We have partially implemented this. We need to take it the rest of the way, as well as the TC. One of these is the TC, yeah, the existing module technical evaluations document, so that we can make sure that we're aligning our processes with TC. Okay, so this is coming 2 weeks from now. I'll put the endorsement voting information in Slack. Thank you, everyone. This has been great.
Evokes.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.